All right, it's time for the Lunch Rush. We take a, dip into some of the larger stories nationally in the sports world. And by now, Matt Rhule has been fired as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. But the story here is, like, David Tepper 6 months ago was like, this is going to take 5 years, 6 years, 7 years to rebuild this organization capable of sustainable excellence. We know we have to give it time, but not that much time. Rhule's firing Monday was, 24 hours after losing 37-15 to the Niners. Not even 3 years into the seven-year deal they gave him. They gave him a seven-year deal. $62 million contract he was given on January 2020 to turn around the Panthers. Now they still owe him north of $40 million. I mean, who signs a head coach to 7 years anymore? And if you do sign a head coach for 7 years, you better be ready to go in on it for the long haul. So, he was bad. He was 11-27, 1-4 to start the season. He was 1-27 when allowing 17 points or more. 25 losses in a row with that. Every other team has different wins when a team scores 17 or whatever. But still, the comments are what gets me. 6 months ago, it's like, listen, we know. This is going to take 5 years. We assigned a coach for seven. That's what's weird. I don't really disagree with the firing, but you owe him a lot of money. And now it's, you owe him a lot of money, and this was supposed to be a seven-year deal. You're on year three. You just went through 2 years. That's nuts.
Yeah, they signed him directly out of college. He coached at Baylor, and then he went directly to the NFL. I got to wonder now, could he be connected to CU?
That's who I keep hearing. Brian Howell brought his name up. Do you want Matt Rhule? I mean, back to college. Some guys just can't make it in the NFL.
He had Baylor as a pretty good team.
Baylor was
great.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd take that in CU. But, maybe not a seven-year deal. Seven-year contract.
We just do 1 year just to see how it goes.
Yeah, why don't we do that anymore? Start doing one-year contracts with coaches. Did you see the unnecessary throwdown of Tom Brady? Atlanta has an opportunity here, Angel. The Bucs were up six, right? And driving to try to put this thing out. It's third down, and defensive lineman Grady Jarrett gets a sack of Tom Brady. He kind of rolls around with him, and then at the very end, kind of a slam down. And they call, roughing the passer. And it gave the Bucs a key first down with 3 minutes to go or something like that. That would have been, Falcons are going to get the ball back. Instead, third down, we're called roughing the passer. Was it roughing the passer? No. I mean, come on. I get it. But you were talking about the concussion stuff now. Get used to it. Get ready for it.
Well, I was talking about it a little bit on Friday when I was filling in for you. I kind of felt like the NFL had a knee-jerk reaction to the Tua stuff, which now we know nothing came of that. He wasn't concussed against the Bills. He had a back injury. He passed the cut for protocols. The NFL and NFLPA fired the independent neuro doctor for what looks like to be no reason.
Right, so they're going
to
bring him back?
He followed the protocols, and the NFL realizes, we investigated ourselves. We found out our protocols suck, but quick, fire somebody because the optics.
Does he have a case to sue the NFL, that doctor?
I have to look into it, but I think he might. Because I think the NFL's reasoning for firing him was the several mistakes and then showing hostility during the investigation, which now you can kind of see if he was being questioned about his methods and his testing protocols, you might be a little defensive if you think you did the right thing.
Yes. Yeah, I can see why. No question about it. So, but get used to it. You're going to see more and more of this now after we're going to tighten this up. If they're showing any kind of signs of struggling at all.
Yeah, the gross
head shaking, whatever.
Gross motor instability. And that's kind of like any, like we saw with Tua, the stumbling, like you see with quarterbacks or any player that gets up and touches their head, there's spotters in the league now. If they spot a symptom like that, they will radio down to the medical people and say, hey, you need to test him for protocols.
And then they're just done. Wow.
And you could pass your protocols, be fine. But if you had one of those symptoms, it's an automatic no-go.
Wow. Another story here. Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green offered a public apology and announced he will step away from the team indefinitely after an altercation on Wednesday between him and Jordan Poole. And I watched it. I mean, Green is talking smack to Jordan during practice. Smack, smack, smack. Gets up, gets in his face, goes up to him in his bubble, and gets in his bubble. Right up to him, chest to chest. Jordan Poole pushes him away, and then Draymond Green just levels him. A violent punch. And probably just, I mean, what, should Draymond Green be suspended for the year? He said, I'm going to stay away, as I've been away, and continue to work on myself, but also just give guys space. I do want to give my team some space. I want to give Jordan some space and then also take a few days and continue to work on myself, take some time to let everything breathe. What a weird situation, and I'll get to more of that because you know, that's a heck of a debate, right? Should Draymond Green just be suspended for the year? We'll break more into that later on. Zach Stevens joining me now, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. Zach, after a few days to kind of let that Thursday night game go away from our brains, hopefully forever. How are you feeling, man? I mean, injuries continue to pile up for the Broncos. We'll hear more about Russell Wilson. What's the state of Broncos, of the Broncos today?
It's not very good, Brady. Like you said, it does help being a little bit further away from that game, but the bummer of that is it's an extra long week for the Broncos, and that's mini bye week, as it's called, and the Broncos need all the time they can get specifically for Russell Wilson. I mean, the injuries piling up. This game next week, to me, is truly an absolute must-win. You can't go to 0-2 in the division. You can't let the Chargers get a two-game lead on you, and it looks like the Chiefs are going to take that as well tonight. So it's a massive game in 1 week, and the Broncos are not trending in the right direction.
Well, especially the injuries. I mean, you're wanting to see if this thing can get right. Can Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson get this offense right? Well, that's going to be way more complicated now. Let's look at the offensive line, Zach. Obviously, we hear about Garrett Bowles. They've been battling injuries all season. But what does the starting offensive line look like today for the Broncos, what we might see on Monday night?
Well, I have to imagine that Calvin Anderson's going to step in at left tackle.
I think we lost Zach. Let's see. Is he still? Zach, are you still there?
You got me?
All right, yeah, we got you now. Okay, you were just talking about Calvin Anderson at left tackle.
Calvin Anderson's got to be the left tackle. That's where he's played his best ball. Then Quinn Meinerz, you're going to have him hopefully back soon. But Quinn Meinerz is a guy who was supposed to be back a week ago and suffered a setback. Quinn Meinerz, the Broncos desperately need him. And then Billy Turner, look, I don't know what's going on with Billy Turner, but he was able to play. In fact, he was active to play against the Colts, and he did not play. You got to have him back at right tackle. And this is just going to be a completely revamped and reworked Broncos offensive line, which is scary because you're going against a Chargers team that's talented. Yes, they're missing Joey Bosa, which is huge for the Broncos, but they still have Khalil Mack. And, man, something I thought about this morning is let's hope the Broncos don't see a Michael Schofield, Khalil Mack type of game with backup offensive linemen in there this week.
Yeah, now we're just kind of makeshift offensive line here. How about Russell Wilson? What's the status of Russ? Hearing more and more about that shoulder injury he got in the Raiders game, and then it was still pretty rough last on Thursday against the Colts. What's his situation?
Yeah, it's not good, but Russ is very committed to playing through the injury. Look, Dak Prescott had the exact same injury last year and didn't throw for a month. Russ gets the injury, finishes out the Raiders game, then 4 days later, despite the shoulder being extremely sore, he goes out there and plays, and it could have affected his accuracy a little bit, but it did not impact his decision-making, and that was kind of the most concerning thing on Thursday night. So I hope that the team does what's best for the long term and doesn't just focus too much on the short term here, but everything that I've heard, from both the Broncos and Russ's camp is that Russ is going to play next week. And they tried that procedure, giving the injection, and that's something that typically you don't do for this type of injury. So they're just trying to do everything they can to get Russ out there next Monday.
There's a small chance maybe that we see Brett Rypien, or even maybe throughout that game if Russ can't go. This is a conversation we knew we would have at some point, probably with injuries and all that, but we might see Brett Rypien.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about an injury to a throwing shoulder for a quarterback, one that typically sidelines quarterbacks for some time. It's something that you absolutely have to consider, and it's something where Brett Rypien, he better be ready. Now, typically with a backup quarterback, all you ask is that they can just get you through a game or two. Well, look, Russell Wilson has barely been able to get the Broncos through some games now, so that's where it's concerning for me. You want your backup quarterback to come in, and you should be able to expect your backup quarterback to come in if he's good enough and go 1-1 over a two-game stretch and just not lose your season. Well, look, the Broncos haven't played good competition, and they're 2-2, and that's with Russell Wilson playing, or 2-3, I should say. So that's where it concerns me is, oh, man, if you don't have Russ and you're turned into a backup quarterback on a team that has so many injuries, on a team that struggled very much offensively throughout the first five games, I think that's too big of a task to ask Brett to go 1-1 or just hold the team up.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. How about on the defensive side? Another blow there as Ronald Darby, we found out, is out for the season. So another spot with Pat Surtain and Darby. You thought maybe kind of a strength for this team. You're going to be asking somebody to step up on the as a next man up for the cornerbacks.
Man. Brady, Garrett Bowles' injury, I think, is more impactful than Ronald Darby. But here's the case for Ronald Darby's being more impactful is the defense, specifically the pass defense, is an absolute strength of this team. And now you're losing one of those key pieces. And you're not just asking, like, next man up. You're asking a rookie in Damari Mathis to step in. And look, I've liked what I've seen from Damari Mathis. But come on, you're not telling me, you're going to tell me when Justin Herbert plays the Broncos, when Patrick Mahomes plays the Broncos, that these guys aren't going to pick on the rookie and try to expose him? That's exactly what's going to happen. Or you can turn to Michael Ojemudia, who's expected to come off the IR this week, who hasn't played football in a year. So that's something that concerns me. That's a big issue because now you take your biggest strength and now it's a question mark.
What about Justin Simmons? Are we still kind of on pace to see him back on Monday night?
Yeah, I fully expect to see Justin Simmons back on Monday night, especially with this extra long bye week. When Justin suffered the injury, they contemplated not putting him on IR, but they thought he would be out for a game. So I do expect him back this week. But again, Brady, especially when you're talking about key guys, take the conservative approach. That's what the Broncos have done so far. But saying that, I still think Justin will be back.
All these injuries, Zach, all these things have mounted up. I mean, my goodness, they're, one of the teams with the most guys on IR, I think, at this point. And we talked about avoiding that in the preseason. Man, that's making that lack of preseason reps for starters really look bad. It looks worse each and every week.
It does. It absolutely does, especially because the continuity with offense certainly is not there, and the offense is struggling, and that was one of the reasons to play them in the preseason was to, one, get kind of game management issues out of the way. Well, that took a couple of weeks into the regular season to get out of the way. And the second one was let these guys, specifically Russ and the receivers, get on the same page. And, I mean, we just saw it last Thursday night. Hey, Russ and the receivers are nowhere close to being on the same page. And, Brady, we're over 5 weeks into this now. The preseason has got to stop being an excuse because Nathaniel Hackett decided to do that. I understood it in the moment, but, boy, 5 weeks into the season, it certainly seems like that was not the right decision.
Zach, where is this locker room now? Both, on the offensive side, Russ's guys, but also the defensive side. Or is there some resentment there? Are they starting to get frustrated? What's that situation like right now? Is this still a group that believes in each other?
You know, what concerns me the most is the offensive side of the ball. Look, the defense has been through this for the majority of the past 6-7 years,
right,
just carrying the team. They're kind of used to that. And they still do believe that Russ will eventually come around and the offense will be fine. So there's hope on the defensive side that the offense is going to get this turned around. So I'm not concerned there. But on the offensive side, specifically the receivers. I mean, the way KJ Hamler freaked out after the game, not only on the field where everyone nationally could see, and that has blown up by him slamming his helmet, throwing his helmet on the ground, but then after he goes into the locker room and tells James Palmer that he would have walked into the end zone if Russ just would have got him the ball. Yeah, KJ, we all saw it. You don't need to throw your quarterback under the bus. That's concerning. You also saw Courtland Sutton, I believe he threw his helmet earlier in the game. You had Jerry Jeudy at a different point in the game just tossing his hands up in the air. Russell Wilson is not the Russell Wilson we expected, but these young receivers that have really proven nothing in this league, outside of Courtland Sutton having one really good season, that Pro Bowl year, they don't need to be throwing their quarterback under the bus like this. So that's what scares me about the locker room potentially falling apart, is what the whole nation saw on Thursday night.
It just keeps getting worse, too. You add that, you add each and every week a key player like Javonte Williams, Garrett Bowles, Ronald Darby out for the season. Zach, in your mind, I mean, do you see Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett kind of figuring this thing out? And if they do, if you do think so, is it going to be too late?
Yeah, it very well could be too late, especially with Russ's injury, especially with all the other injuries. This game next week, the Broncos are 6.5-point underdogs. So Vegas is telling you the Broncos are not going to win this game. And Brady, if they drop to 2-4, they could get back to 4-4 by playing the Jets, although they're looking better than I ever would have expected, and then playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those games are not gimmies, and those are the games before the bye. If the Broncos go 2-1 in their next three games before the bye, which is not an easy task, they'll only be 500, and the Broncos need it to be above 500. So where we sit right now, I don't think they're going to go 3-0 into the bye, and so I do think it's going to be too late for this year to really have an impact of truly making a playoff push. But I do think that they have to get it figured out, right, Brady? I mean, this is Russell Wilson. This is a guy that has made the playoffs in eight of his first 10 years in the NFL. He's had a winning record 9 of his first 10 years in the NFL. This guy can play football, but clearly things need to change.
Zach, have you ever seen anything quite like this? Quarterback, everybody wants. They love the guy. He's had a great career in Seattle, a new head coach, and there's excitement. And then, bam, that excitement hits a brick wall, and it just, you know, crowds booing. They're quick to boo, quick to anger. Have we seen anything quite like this with those high expectations so quickly dashed 5 weeks into the season?
I could have absolutely never seen this coming. You're talking about a guy and Nathaniel Hackett that everyone loved, had probably the best honeymoon offseason of all time because of the positivity, the difference in culture he brings. And then, by the way, they land Russell Wilson, and he's over the moon. Broncos country's over the moon. And in the very first week, before the very first game is over, his honeymoon period is over with the team. Would have never guessed that. I thought his honeymoon period was going to be this full season. And then with Russell Wilson, Brady, I thought his honeymoon period was going to be 3 or 4 years with the Broncos. And potentially even longer. It's over 1 month into the season. I don't think anyone could have expected this poor of a start, not to mention the Broncos are averaging 15 points per game. That is the second worst in the NFL, only in front of the Indianapolis Colts, who they just beat the Broncos. Mm. So, no, this is completely unexpected, and I think that's why fans are even more upset with this. Is, yeah, the past few years there were boo birds and people were disappointed, but the Broncos at least gave those teams hope. This year, coming into it, the expectations were through the roof, and already 1 month into the season, they're 2-3. The offense does not look good, and that's, I think, why people are way more quick to boo. I mean, you heard booing, I believe, with like 10 minutes left in the second quarter this past week.
Yeah, there was a louder cheer for when the official said San Diego. I mean, it was louder at that point, and then louder when he got it right. So we'll see, Zach. It just, you know, with all the injuries piling up, it's, you know, you start wondering, okay, if they can make this click, they're going to have to do it through even more adversity with all of these injuries. So Monday night would be a great time to do it. I think you were noting that the Broncos, hey, they were 2-3 in 2012, and maybe the sky was kind of falling a little bit. They came all the way back and beat the Chargers, and the rest is history. The Broncos were in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs every single year after that.
Yeah, beat them on Monday Night Football. I mean, the storyline is there for the Broncos to do the exact same thing. Unfortunately, that team was averaging 27 points per game in their first five games despite going 2-3. The Broncos only averaging 15 points per game. So, unfortunately, it's not the same setup. But, hey, I think everyone will take it if the Broncos go down 24-0 on Monday night and then flip it around, win 35-24, and then go on to win their final 12 games of the regular season, just like Peyton did winning his final 11 games of the regular season that year.
Yeah. Well, that schedule is so scary. Look, that's why, you know, we were putting so much pressure on the start of the season.
Yeah.
And you look after the bye, and it gets pretty rough. Zach, my man, what are you working on that we can check out, get all of our Broncos fix as we wait around for next Monday night?
Yeah, I mean, really just what's going on with Russell Wilson. Is there a chance that the Broncos decide to sit him at some point? And just how limited will he be with that? So hopefully I'm going to be looking for those answers throughout the week.
All right, my man. Appreciate you as always, and we'll look to catch up with you perhaps later this week.
Brady, thank you so much.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. How about that? Could Russ not go on Monday night? And trust me, there's part of my brain on Thursday night going, what if Russ doesn't come out of that tent and they go with Brett Rippon and then they move the ball? Like, you, Zach said it, man. Nobody could have predicted this. You might have predicted that Russ isn't going to be a Peyton Manning 2.0. He's not going to go win a Super Bowl for this team in 7 years. I don't think even the biggest naysayer of Broncos country could have predicted 2-3, a C-minus effort from Russell Wilson, all these injuries mounting up, all of the obvious mistakes that Nathaniel Hackett has made. I don't think anybody would have written that down as a prediction. 27 after the hour. It was, about 10 years ago on a Monday Night Football game against the Chargers, and it seemed like the sky was falling, and the Peyton Manning thing wasn't maybe going to be as good as advertised. They were getting smoked by the Chargers, found a way to come all the way back and changed the course of Broncos history those next few years. I'll talk a little bit about that on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.